So this morning from the Lord, I want to preach to you the power of a focused life. Power of a focused life. I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, and we are going to start at verse 6. Again, I just want to talk to you about the power of a focused life. Look with me at verse 6. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you." And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. Came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from you." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Beloved, again, I want to talk to you about the power of a focused life. We're going to stay with what the Lord has been putting on my heart about the importance of guarding our focus. We so need to understand in the days we live in how important it is that we guard our focus. In 1 Kings, we see a man of God and a very faithful servant of the Lord by the name of Elijah. The Bible tells us that for many years, Elijah was a servant of the Lord, and through his life of obedience, God done miraculous things through Elijah's life, powerful things through Elijah's life that had a great impact upon Elijah's generation. And then there came a moment in time where the Lord begins to prepare Elijah to go home to be with the Lord. And in preparing Elijah for this journey home to be with the Lord, he tells Elijah to go and appoint a man by the name of Elisha to be prophet in his stead, to carry on the work of the ministry, to carry on the torch. So Elijah journeys, and he finds this man, Elisha, plowing with yokes of oxen. Elisha was a man that was diligent. He was a man that worked very hard, and that was very important that he have that in his life to carry on the work of the ministry in the times that he was living in. So Elijah finds Elisha, and he throws his mantle over Elisha's shoulders. And when that mantle fell upon Elisha's shoulders, at that moment there came a knowing in Elisha's heart. That when the mantle came upon him, in his heart there came a knowing that God was calling him into his service. There came a knowing in Elisha's heart that God was calling him because he wanted to place his hand, he wanted to place his touch on Elisha's life and use Elisha's life in his generation to impact his generation, that God would be glorified through his life in his generation. So Elisha, he burns his plows and he kills his oxen. In other words, what we would call that today is burning our bridges. Elisha resolved in his heart that I'm going all the way in the call of God, that there's nothing that I'm going to be able to come back to. I'm going to burn my bridges. I'm killing my oxen. I'm burning my plows. And no matter how hard, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how lonely it becomes in the call of God, I'm not turning back. I'm going to go all the way with God because I know in my heart His grace is sufficient. God's not calling me to walk this walk in my strength. He's calling me to walk the walk in His strength. And as long as my heart is toward the Lord and I live that humble and obedient life with God, His grace will be sufficient. Whatever I have to face, His grace will be sufficient. So he follows Elijah on the journey. And when you study it out, Elijah and Elisha walked together for about 8 years. When you study the scriptures out, the time frame of the scriptures, Elisha is with Elijah for about 8 years. And in these 8 years, Elisha has made himself a minister of Elijah. He's a man that's serving his leadership. He's serving Elijah. He's ministering to his needs. And in return, Elijah is sowing into this man's life. Elijah is training this man. Elijah is teaching this man. Elijah is raising this man up to be a mighty man of God, to be a prophet of the Lord, to be a great servant of the Lord. And then the day comes when Elijah's ministry on this earth is over, and his final destination upon the earth is across the Jordan. So he journeys across the Jordan, and he leads Elisha across the Jordan to that place where the Lord is finally going to receive him up. Now, brothers and sisters, what I want us to understand, and it's something that I've spoken before, but we really need to understand it in our heart before I can really bring out what I feel the Lord wants us to see this morning, is that Elijah leads Elisha across the Jordan. And the Jordan has a very strong place, significant place spiritually. It represents something very spiritual. See, the word Jordan is a Hebrew word, and it means to decrease. It means to descend. It means to go downward. So in other words, the Jordan represents the cross. It represents dying more and more to self. It represents a desire in your heart, a desire in your heart to be willing to die to everything that you are so that Christ might live His life in you, might live His life through you. Brothers and sisters, as we read in this story, only two men went across the Jordan, and the rest of the prophets, the rest of those that were called by the name of the Lord, they stood afar off. There's only a very small remnant that will really embrace that crucified life. There's so many that talk about the cross and sing about the cross and confess with their words to embrace the cross, but in reality, in their hearts, they have never made that altar. In their hearts, they have never in sincerity prayed, "Lord, I lay down my will, I lay down my dreams, I lay down my desires. God, I seek your will with a sincere heart. What is your will?" It's a very, very small remnant in every church, I believe with all my heart, a very small remnant that has really prayed that prayer. But of course, we see these two men go across, and you see the power of God manifested in and through and for their life. So it represents the cross. And what I want us to understand, it was only after they crossed the Jordan did Elijah look Elisha in the face and ask him that question. He said, "Elisha, tell me what it is that you want me to do for you." In other words, he's saying, "Elisha, tell me what is in your heart. Tell me what the prayers that are in your heart. Elisha, what is the deep desire of your heart? Before I'm taken away, Elisha, I want to know what is in your heart." So Elijah looks at Elijah and he says, "Elijah, that I may have a double portion of your spirit." Now there's two things I want to bring out about this. First of all, again, I want us to notice it was only after crossing the Jordan, it was only after in his heart truly embracing the crucified life, embracing that place where I'm willing to so die to myself that you might live, that the Lord, that Elijah asked Elisha this question, brothers and sisters. He asked him this question, and here's my thought. Here's what the Lord put on my heart. Brothers and sisters, it's when we have truly embraced the crucified life. It's when we're truly in our heart willing to die to everything that we are, that Christ may live His life through us, that God really begins to incline to the prayers that are in our hearts. It's when we have embraced that cross, when we have embraced that crucified life, when we have made that altar in our heart that says, "God, not my will, but your will." That's when the Lord really begins to incline His ear to our hearts to hear the prayers that are in our hearts. Because He knows the prayers that are going to come out of our heart is not coming out of self-life. It's not coming out of a self-life, but it's coming out of a life that the very core, the very focus, the very center of our prayers is that God would be glorified. That's the heart that God inclines His ear to. Because He knows that the prayers that we are praying, the desires that are in our heart, come from His heart. There are prayers after His heart. Brothers and sisters, there's many people praying amiss. There's many people praying amiss because they have never truly, truly embraced that cross. They've never truly laid it down their life. They're praying the right words, but God is not hearing. Because it's not enough to pray the right words. You have to have the right heart behind the right words. The Lord told me one time, there's many people praying for revival for our nation, but I'm not hearing their prayers because I see their hearts. In their hearts, they really don't want me to answer this prayer because if I send revival, it's going to cost them something. It's going to cost them much. And if I was to answer their prayers, they would lose things that they're not willing to lose. It's not enough to pray the right prayers. You have to have the right heart behind the right prayers. And these are the people that God inclines His heart when we've truly embraced the cross, truly prayed, God, not my will, but Your will be done through my life. Them are the heart, the prayers that God inclines His heart to hear. So Elisha says to Elijah, I want a double portion of your spirit. They've crossed that Jordan floor. They crossed that place of embracing the cross. And he says, now I want a double portion of your spirit. Now, this is what I want us to understand. When Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit, he's not speaking out of his own heart. God put that desire in his heart. God put that desire. God put that prayer in his heart. He's not speaking out of his own heart. God put that prayer in his heart because God wants him to have the double portion. God wants to answer that prayer because he knows what Elisha is going to be facing in his ministry. He knows the death that is in Jericho. He knows the rebellion in Bethel, rebellion in the house of God. He knows the death all through Elisha's ministry that Elisha is going to have to be able to bring life to. So it's a prayer that God put in his heart. God wanted him to have this double portion. And brothers and sisters, what I want us to understand is that when we embrace that cross, when we live that crucified life, when we have totally forsaken our path and we're seeking God's will, God's path for our life, God's going to put prayers in our heart. God's going to put desires in our heart. He's going to put prayers and desires in our heart because He wants to give us these things. He's going to put a cry in our heart. There's going to become a time when there's a cry in our heart to go into a deeper place with God. There's going to come times in our heart where there's such a cry to know God even more intimately. I know God intimately, but I know there is a deeper place of intimacy with God. He's going to put cries in our heart. He's going to put desires in our heart that God, change me. Work your heart in me. God, never before have I been more hungry for you to do something in my life. Make me more like Jesus. He's going to put cries in our heart. God, I know that you're using me, but God, I want to be used even more for your kingdom. I want to be used in a greater way. They're my prayers that don't come out of our own flesh, don't come out of our own heart. The Spirit of God bursts those prayers into our heart. It's God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And the reason the Lord puts those cries, puts those prayers in our heart, because He wants to do it. He wants to do it. Beloved, I can say in all sincerity and truth, I've been walking with the Lord for a while. And yet there's never been a greater hunger in my heart for God to do something in my life. There's never been a greater hunger in my heart for God to work in my heart, make me more like Jesus, form His character in me, use my life for His glory. And I know that only comes by the Spirit of God. God bursts those cries in our hearts because He wants to do it. He wants to give us these things. So Elisha says to Elijah, give me a double portion. And then Elijah responds, you have asked a hard thing. In other words, what Elijah is saying to Elisha is this. He's saying, this thing that you have asked, only a miracle from the Lord can give this to you, can bring this to you, can produce this in you. It's not something that the strength of the flesh can produce, can cultivate. It's not only a hard thing, it's going to regard a miracle. I believe that is by the Spirit, that is what Elijah is saying. And brothers and sisters, we know that these prayers that God puts in our heart, only God can do this. Only God can change me. Only God can form more of Christ in me. Only God can give me a hunger and bring me into a deeper intimacy with Christ. But we have to remember, even though it's a hard thing, even though it goes beyond being a hard thing, it will take a miracle. We have to know in our heart, God wants to do these things. Beloved, God has so much that He wants to give us. He wants to give us a walk of intimacy that our minds can't even begin to fathom. He wants to reveal Himself, His heart, His hand in our life that goes beyond what we can think. Why do I know that? Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can imagine or think." The Lord wants to do these things, even though it will require a miracle. The Lord wants to do these things. But now here's the heart of my message. You've heard me speak these things before, but here, over vacation, here is what the Lord really opened up to me and began to challenge me with. Look at verse 10. He says, "You've asked a hard thing." But then verse 10, He says, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." So Elijah says to Elisha, "If you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so unto thee." Now hear me. This is what I want us to understand. When Elijah speaks these words, "If you see me go, you'll have your prayer." When Elijah speaks these words, here's what we have to understand. He is speaking by the Spirit of God. He's not speaking out of his own heart. He's not speaking out of his own imaginations. He is speaking by the Spirit of God. Let me just ask you this. Listen, how could Elijah know that if Elisha saw him being taken up, he would receive the double portion? Brothers and sisters, he could only know that by the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God. I do not think Elijah would be brash enough to presume upon God in that way. He has to be speaking by the heart of God. He has to be speaking by the Spirit of God. So here's the question. When Elijah speaks these words, "If you see me go, you'll have what you've asked for." Here's the question. When Elijah spoke those words, what was the Holy Spirit doing in Elisha's heart? What was he producing in Elisha's heart? What was he trying to say to Elisha that would impact his life? Here's your answer. Through these words of Elijah, the Holy Spirit is sealing something in Elisha's heart. What is it? Focus. He's saying if you're going to receive what God has for you, you have to stay focused. If you're going to receive what God has for you, Elisha, you have to stay focused on me. You have to live a focused life. It's as if he's saying to Elisha, he's saying, if you do not stay focused upon me, you will miss what God has for you. You will miss it. What is the Holy Spirit doing here? He is instilling within Elisha the importance and the power of a focused life. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. There are so many things God desires for each one of our lives. He desires us to know Him intimately, beyond what we could imagine or think. He desires to change our hearts. He desires that the glory of Christ be revealed in and through our lives. But I'm telling you, if we don't stay focused upon Christ, if we don't keep Christ truly at the center of our hearts, where we can say, not in word but in truth, He is the most important thing in my life. My relationship with God is the most important thing in my life. We will miss what God has for our lives. We will miss it. Beloved, there are so many people that they just do not understand the incredible encounters with God they are missing because they are not focused upon Him. Other things have their heart. They're distracted by other things. Other things are sitting upon the throne of their heart. Truly, their relationship with Jesus Christ is not the most important thing in their life. And they are missing things. They have no idea the incredible encounters with God they are missing. And what God wants to do in and through their life. They're missing it. We have to stay focused. Jesus has to stay first place in our life. Not in word, but in truth. Our hearts have to stay focused on Him. We have to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Understand, as Elisha is focused on Elijah, suddenly the chariot comes. That's very simple, but I'm going somewhere. Say it again. As Elisha is focused on Elijah, suddenly, I want to emphasize that word suddenly, the chariot comes. And as we are focused on Christ, there are key times in our lives when God is going to come in such a moment of time and speak something or do something that is going to change our life forever. Beloved, as we stay focused on Christ, there are times in our life where God is just going to come suddenly. He's just going to come at that moment, and He's going to speak something. He's going to do something in our life that right on that spot, it's going to change our life forever. I can't help but think about the Word of God, because in my own heart and life, and I just have to use me for an example because I know my heart, and I say it in humility, but I know in my own heart and life, because I have such a hunger for the Lord, and because He is truly first place in my heart, that my life is given to seeking the Lord. I know those times when I've been in the Word, and just at that very moment, God would speak something out of His Word that had so much life, had so much power, I was changed on the spot right there. I know times seeking God with such a hunger to know His heart, to know His ways. I would be reading the Word, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit would just come and breathe life into a Scripture that had so much power, so much life, so much anointing. It changed my heart. It changed my life right there on the spot. Many times going through this Word, God has given me such a revelation of grace. The grace of God, what grace is. Not just a covering, but it's the power of God in your life that it has changed my life. It comes from staying focused on the Lord. And not only does He speak in your Word, but He will do things. I'm talking about in one moment of time, as you are focused on the Lord, He will come in one moment of time and do things that will change your life forever. Let me give you an example. I remember as an early Christian, hungering for the Lord and walking after the Lord. And I remember the day I got a Pastor Dave newsletter. I opened that newsletter, and inside it, there was a little blue slip. I pulled that little blue slip out, and in one moment of time, the whole direction of my life changed. Why? What was that blue slip? We are introducing a new school, Mount Zion School of Ministry. Immediately, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, that's where you're going. And in 1 second of time, the whole direction of my life changed. But I'm telling you, if we don't stay focused, if we allow other things to have first place in our heart, if we're not living that seeking life, seeking God and His Word, we will miss those times. We will miss those suddenly appearings of God where He will change you in an instant. Elijah is saying to Elisha, Elisha, if you're going to receive what God has for you, you have to stay focused. You have to live a focused life. Amen. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Lord says, keep your heart with all diligence. That word keep means guard. Protect your heart with all diligence. In other words, the Lord is putting the responsibility upon us. He's saying, you keep your heart. You guard your heart. You protect your heart with all diligence. Brothers and sisters, in Jeremiah, the Lord says, I will give you a new heart. But He says in Proverbs, it's up to you to keep your heart. Yes, I will search your heart. I will be a watchman over your heart. I will tell you when things are trying to get into your heart to pull you away from that life of focus, to pull you away from that life of loving the Lord and keeping Him first place. I will do that. My spirit will do that. But you have to protect your desire. You have to protect the I want that, Lord. You have to protect your passion. You have to protect it with everything within you, because the devil is after it. from Genesis chapter 2 with Adam and Eve, for all the way through Samson, David, you see he's after one thing. He's after focus. If he can just get your focus onto something else, get you distracted by something else. Where I love you with all my heart, God, is just something in words, but it's not a reality in the heart. Beloved, we have to guard our heart. We have to guard our passion. We have to guard our desire for God. We have to guard that. So many start out with a strong focus, but somewhere in their walk with God, they fall into complacency. That's tragic. So many start out in their Christian walk with a fire for God and a passion for God. And they're in His Word daily, seeking His heart. But somewhere in their walk with God, they fall into complacency. Indifference comes into their heart. They're not passionate about the Lord anymore. Not talking about a feeling. I'm talking about love and commitment. They're not committed to seeking Him in His Word. They're not committed to prayer anymore. They spend more time in front of their television than they do in the Word of God. They used to have a place in His Word seeking their heart. But little things. I know television may seem shallow. I have a reason for saying that. They've lost their fire and they spend so much time with idle things. Nothing wrong with watching wholesome programs. But when television and shopping malls and videos and going to visit friends crowds out seeking God, then it becomes an idol. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling us, we have to guard our heart. We have to guard our focus. We have to guard our passion. We have to guard our desire. By the grace of God, we can do it. By the grace of God, we can keep Jesus first place in our heart. And the evidence is there is a love in my heart that causes me to seek after Him. There's a scripture. It says here, keep your heart with all diligence. The scripture, as I actually think about preaching next Sunday, it is my life verse. It's a verse, not a week goes by. The Lord doesn't bring me to it and have me meditate on it and think about it. And it's Proverbs 13:4. You don't have to look at it. This is what it says. It says, the slothful desires and has nothing, but of the heart of the diligent shall be made fat. Now, what does it mean when it says the heart of the diligent shall be made fat? This is the promise. The heart of the diligent shall have its God-given desires in abundance. The desires that God puts in your heart, when you're diligent, you will know and possess these desires in abundance. You want to talk about intimacy. You want to talk about knowing the ways of God. You want to talk about being transformed by God. You will know the God-given desires in abundance when you are diligent to keep your focus. Diligent not to let anything come in and distract. Diligent to keep Jesus and seeking His heart first place in your life. God says when you are diligent, those God-given desires I've given you, you will know them in abundance. But what's the misfortune of not being diligent? It says the slothful desires and has nothing. In other words, you're going to be looking at great men and women of God that are diligent, that are filled with the Spirit, that do have a walk and a richness with God. You're going to be looking at them and desiring what they have, but never possessing it. Why? Because we're allowing, that's what it means to be a sluggard, a sloth. We're allowing the flesh to dictate our life. No. I pray it all the time because God gives me that verse all the time. Lord, Your grace is sufficient to be diligent, to live a disciplined life. Listen, you have to understand that. To be diligent involves discipline. You can't be diligent without a disciplined life. Why? Because the flesh doesn't want to pray. The flesh doesn't want to seek God. The flesh doesn't want to spend time in this Word. You know what the flesh wants to do? It wants to sit around and watch TV. It wants to sleep 10, 12 hours a day. It wants to be appeased. It wants to be entertained. No. If you're going to live a diligent life, you have to keep the flesh in its place. I am getting up this morning and praying. I may be tired. My flesh may be kicking. But God's grace is sufficient. I am getting up this morning and seeking God. I am turning off television, getting away from the phone. I am going to spend quality time with God. It takes discipline. If you're going to live a diligent life, it means living a disciplined life, keeping the flesh in its place. Flesh not telling you what it's going to do. You're telling the flesh, by the grace of God, what you're going to do. We are getting up this morning. I know it's 5 o'clock in the morning, but I am spending time with God before I do anything else. I am getting up this morning. Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you, His grace is sufficient if you want that life of diligence. But you got to look at the reward. It's worth it. God says, the heart of the diligent shall possess its God-given desires in abundance. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand, there's no middle ground between, I don't believe there is, looking at the verse. There's no middle ground between being diligent and being a sluggard. If we're not diligent, then we are negligent with the things of God. If we're not diligent, then there is complacency in our lives. We can live that focused life. We got to guard it. You're talking about something that's hard. I know it can be difficult, but I'm not talking about doing this in our strength. You're looking at a pastor that already understands our strength is powerless. But if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus and walk humbly before Him, God gives grace to the humble. And as we keep our dependence upon the Lord and our humility towards the Lord, God will give us the grace to live a diligent, disciplined, focused life. Stand with me this morning.